Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We speak this morning with Cambridge, Illinois native Craig Anderson, the executive director of the Illinois High School Association, also a Monmouth College product, so we can call him a local kid. I guess I know the last time I saw Craig Anderson was the state football weekend, and he was selling programs, so he's trying to win Employee of the Month at the IHSA. Apparently, they got you doing everything down there, apparently.
Well, sometimes you just got to step up and take on a role, and so we didn't have anybody interested, so Kurt Gibson and I just kind of said we'd step up and help out. So, yeah, we did a little extra that weekend, but it was good exercise after a you know, as you know, Thanksgiving can put on the pound, so
yeah.
It was good for me to get up and down the bleachers a little bit.
Yeah, I tell you, they were some good games. I know I was down there on Friday, they're coming down to the, you know, fourth quarter, some great small school football.
Yeah, we did. Both days, some outstanding football games and very competitive. So the fans definitely got their money's worth if they were there either day. We were really proud of the quality of football that we saw and the competitive level. It was just really, really outstanding.
You know, we're going to talk to Craig Anderson about eight-man football today. And while we're talking, I just thought of, have you had a chance to see the documentary that the LeBron James production company put together on East St. Louis called 89 Blocks, I believe. Have you had a chance to see that yet?
You know, I haven't, and I know I think that came out shortly or alongside of our football tournament weekend, and after a busy weekend, I wasn't able to catch that, but I want to. I want to go back and pull that up and see if I can. I assume it's available on delay somewhere, somehow. These days you can usually get access to it, but unfortunately I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, well, let's talk eight-man football. I talked to John Lawler, who's the head coach at Alden Hebron, and for our listening audience, that's located up near the Wisconsin border, and they're among the schools, I think five teams this past season offering five-man football in Illinois, and you know, some of the schools have to play teams from Wisconsin that has an eight-man series, and it looks like there is some more interest and potentially some more growth here over the next couple of years. And I know the IHSA declared it an emerging sport last year. So a little bit about your reaction to that and what you're hearing with eight-man football in Illinois.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, we know that it's going to allow some schools that maybe hadn't been able or didn't think they were going to be able to continue to offer football without maybe forming a co-op are now able to continue it on the eight-man side. But looking at, for us, this past year, it looks like we had about five schools that indicated that they were playing some eight-man football. And like you said, I think, you know, now that they've done that, and while they did have to go out of state probably to get some games, I think schools will find themselves in a similar position, wanting to maintain the opportunity to play football for their school and for their students, and as a result might look at this as an option.
So Coach Lawler indicated that he's being ambitious here, but he said, you know, maybe 25 to 28 by 2019, 2020 possibly, in terms of eight-man football. What's the threshold or what's the consideration to have a state tournament series in eight-man football? Has that been discussed, or is that, you know, on the back burner somewhere?
Yeah, no, our board hasn't discussed that yet, and I would anticipate this would be a little bit different than typically in an emerging sport like lacrosse, as an example. In order for that, and I think of that more as a brand-new sport, we generally, our policy that our board kind of works under is trying to get 10% of our membership participating in that sport before we introduce a state series. Now, the football, an eight-man, is slightly different in that, you know, we have already schools playing football, and so this is just kind of a different version of that. So, to date, you know, still with the small number, like I said, I think we only had five that had indicated to us that they were playing eight-man football. Our board hasn't discussed what that plateau number needs to be before we would transition into a state series for eight man, and whether that means eliminating one of our 11 man football classes, or just adding an additional state series in eight man and keeping our eight classes of 11 man football, you know, that's yet to be determined. But, you know, if we get to that number, and, you know, I don't, John's probably spoken to a lot of people across the state who he knows are talking about it, and that number may be realistic by 2019. The 20 to 25 or even, you know, over 25 number, you know, as we see that number, and I think 18 will be a telltale sign next fall as to how many are showing some interest. And if we do get, you know, over 10 or close to 15 for next year, I think that's when it'll cause me to introduce this idea to the board and see what their thoughts are about what that number needs to be for us to transition into a state series.
Well, and you said emerging sports normally 10% of member schools. So what is that, about between 80 and 90, somewhere around there?
Yeah, yeah. So currently we're at 811 member schools, so roughly 80 is the kind of the plateau number that schools, emerging sports, need to have participation at that level before our board would entertain introducing a state series.
I assume you get it, though, right? I mean, you know, in our area of the state, I think in some of these small school conferences, you're seeing, and I'm not talking about a public-private school debate. This is something completely separate beyond that. I'm talking about, like, really the difference between the haves and have-nots. And a lot of it has to do with the participation numbers of, you know, how many kids do you have out for football, grades 9 through 12. And I think it's important to note, can you put together two competitive teams, a JV team and a varsity team, and not have to rob kids from the freshman-sophomore level who aren't ready to play varsity football but are forced to by attrition? They're not ready to play, but they have to because of the number issue. I mean, you see that maybe this, I'm not going to call it a saving grace for football, but it's one of the options maybe to keep the sport around.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'm definitely aware of schools that struggle with exactly what you're talking about. You know, the putting the students that aren't ready, freshmen or sophomores, into a varsity contest that, you know, ordinarily would really have no business participating in. Being able to keep your varsity level kids on an eight-man varsity schedule and then allow JV kids to participate at that same level of play with other like athletes makes a lot of sense in regards to safety and just, you know, morale. And but and so to your point, I absolutely am aware of our smaller schools losing enrollment, losing participation numbers, and just trying to keep the opportunity around for those who want to. And so, yeah, I don't want to hold back opportunities for kids. And so, as I mentioned, as we continue to see growth and where that growth gets to, you know, we're going to engage in conversations that, you know, the state series would give some credibility to eight-man football, and it's something that, you know, we'll definitely be considering in the years to come.
Yeah, and you brought up the interesting point that I think some people don't realize in terms of the classification issue. And if you offer just the one class of eight man, then what do you do with the other eight classes? Do you reduce that? And I think that's an interesting subject in of itself. But logistically, I guess, and I just learned this week about eight man football because I asked Coach Lawler. I said, now what are the field dimensions? Well, he said the length is still 100 yards, and the width, he said, is reduced to 40 yards. So it's not that tough logistically to have to make those modifications if you do have a state tournament series where you still can play basically at the same venue. You just have to make some slight moderations with an eight-man class, with an eight-man situation.
Yeah, he's right, and as a result, there's not a, you know, a real significant change. You know, boundary lines just moved in slightly from where we're currently at. So yeah, I think it's possible. You know, I would anticipate that our 11-man football numbers are going to decrease if we see an increase in eight-man football, and so our board will just have to weigh out, you know, does it mean adding just a separate class, or does it mean eliminating an 11-man football class to input now this eight-man football?
Well, and I think the other important thing to note, too, from a geography standpoint, I know you're looking at math and saying, well, if we really want to get serious, we want to see if 10% of the member schools are participating if we're going to have these discussions. But I think not only that, I mean, you want to have kind of the consistency with the geography as well, don't you? I mean, that it's an issue and you have representation of eight-man teams really all across the state of Illinois. I think that's another important part of this discussion.
Oh, I think it is. Yeah, I think it definitely is. You know, I'm just reflecting upon a number of football-playing schools currently, excluding the eight-man football schools, and if we were to divide up equally that number into eight classes, how many football-playing teams do we really have per class? And it doesn't reach the 80 number. You know, we have 547 football-playing schools, and when you divide that up into eight classes, that's, you know, a little over 70 per class. So to expect eight-man to get all the way to 80 isn't realistic, and so that's why I think that number is going to be a lot lower for us introducing an eight-man state series when it doesn't reach that 10% level. So I definitely think the number is going to be a lot lower than the 10%. And again, because it's not an emerging sport.
Okay. All right. Talking with Craig Anderson again, the executive director of the IHSA, just a few other comments from you here. I know there were some bylaw amendments offered on various subjects. I think five were approved, got to the ballot, the IHSA member schools approved. Now, one of the issues, you know, we always hear about is the public-private debate. You know, there was the amendment to eliminate the 1.65 enrollment multiplier for the non-boundary schools. That didn't get to the ballot. So even though that seems to be an issue basically every year, the IHSA still, you know, is discussing or trying to fine-tune or something, you know, with the success factor and all those discussions too. So I guess long story short, your reaction to all that?
Yeah, well, it definitely is an ongoing debate as to what's fair and what's not fair. And, you know, the majority of our membership is public schools. And as a result, when it comes to making decisions about some of these proposals, you know, the majority's is going to rule in terms of, as you noted, what makes it to the ballot. And so, as we've seen in recent years, the membership still believes there should be a multiplier in place. You know, the thing that gets lost in all this is what goes along with the bylaw that says there'll be a multiplier is the fact that there's also a waiver, and our board, within their policy, is able to modify ways at which schools get a waiver. And in many of our sports, of the private schools that participate in those, as many as 80% of the private schools participating are receiving a waiver of the multiplier. So as a result, those schools are getting classified on their actual enrollment. And so across multiple sports, the percentage of schools receiving a waiver, again, private schools receiving a waiver from the multiplier, is really high. So for that reason, I think, you know, when public and private schools recognize that, public schools for sure, you know, they think the 1.6 multiplier is still effective in getting some schools that have success. And the way you would receive a waiver is a result of not having success in a particular sport. But those that are successful in the postseason, you know, continue to be multiplied, their role classification. I think overall, you know, the system is generally fair. We do have an ad hoc committee we're forming at the beginning of the 2018, well, right after the new year, actually, to talk about classification enrollment cutoffs, the multiplier waiver, and the success factor now that it's been in place for two full years and now we're into our third year, to see if, you know, we're getting together a group of administrators to consider if there should be some modifications to the success factor or elimination thereof or those kind of things. So we may have some changes coming out of our board policies related to the success factor, the multiplier waiver, and maybe even some classification enrollment things by the end of this school year, because that committee is going to meet right off here in the beginning of 2018.
Talking with Craig Anderson with the IHSA. Now, you know, another bylaw amendment proposal that didn't get to the ballot was the playoff expansion for the football playoffs, basically doubling it and making it, you know, basically an 8-week regular season. Now, it was the second attempt at this. I mean, was there any more support, or this is just an issue that really the same result, it just didn't get anywhere?
Yeah, you know, it was the second time, and we've seen consistently for a number of years in some fashion of this. One was the first time, or we had seen this twice before, but other versions of this we had seen in past years. And so, you know, I think what schools get caught up in is just the unknowns of, while the proposal was simply to make it an 8-game regular season, let playoffs start a week earlier with the anticipation of an expansion in the playoffs. But what the expansion was going to look like was really kind of out there, because it was going to be left up to a committee or our board to designate what that looked like. So we're taking some steps here internally. We met with the football advisory committee that met just a couple weeks ago to talk about some more specifics about, if we eliminate week 9, what do we want the playoff system to look like? And so we've looked at a variety of options, and we're likely going to go out to the membership with a little survey here to see if we can, you know, our membership would land on something that they could agree to, kind of in advance of just, you know, the unknown, taking to them really unknowns about what the playoff system might look like. And so that potentially will get some interest, I think, from our membership. And while we don't anticipate changing anything for the 2018 season, I think potentially, depending upon how this goes for 2019, we could see some changes going forward. But it would go likely in the form of a member proposal. Our membership would get to vote on it. We think that's the right way to go about this, but we want to see if we could put out some specifics and let our, and through a survey, just get some interest from the schools to see what they think about that.
So you're actually talking about adding, when you say that, adding more teams into the postseason.
That's correct.
Okay. Yes. All right. Now the other discussion that I always hear is in, they do it in 7A and 8A football, and can, it's a little easier to do it because of the metropolitan areas with the 1 through 32 mm-hmm. seeding. And, you know, they went to 1 through 16 uniformly a couple years ago, 1A through 6A. But I continue to hear, you know, those coaches say, come on, you got to look at the 1 through 32 for 1A through 6A. Could that be a thing, or is that just something that will never happen?
Well, I wouldn't say it could never happen. You know, that's, again, that's a board policy, and our board could adjust that. You know, we've looked at, every year we have the opportunity to kind of take a look at what the, like, first-round matchups would be if we did seed it 1 through 32 in those classes. And inevitably, when we look at that, we end up with some really extreme travel for teams. And while you're right, when you speak to coaches, I'm sure they say, let's do it. Who cares about the travel? We'll go play wherever. When I talk to superintendents, they're not always so much in favor of that. So, you know, it's a balance. You know, we went away from the quadrant piece where we just divide the state basically in half in 1 through 6A and seed them 1 through 16 in each half. And I think that's been met favorably without expanding the travel too badly. And so, again, we continue to hear that, though we hear both sides of that. And if you're stuck with a long travel early in the playoffs, you know, for your fans, and, you know, even for kids and traveling and the long travel, you know, that we don't know how advantageous that is for competition. But from the coaching side, I understand their point. They just want it to be equal. You know, why does 7 and 8A get to do it and we don't if I'm a 1 through 6A coach making the playoffs? And so we'll continue to have that discussion. But, you know, for geography in those six classes, it most recently has made sense to leave it in the two halves.
All right. Well, we've talked enough with Craig Anderson today. We've taken up his time, but a lot to talk about, as always, with the IHSA. And we wish a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, Mr. Craig Anderson. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim. You too.
All right. Cambridge, Illinois native Craig Anderson, the IHSA Executive Director, joining us on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.